Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Let me do this. Let me start with a prayer. Then I want to kind of bring things together on this chapter. And Lord, you should have the handout. It's lesson 5 on the life of David. And it's incredible. A man after God's own heart. Some great things. There are two principles that we're trying to learn from this one section. Two principles. And one of them is, how do we respond when people do us wrong? The second one is, what do we do if we do somebody wrong? How do we deal with that? And then if we have time, and I don't know if we will or not, if we have time, I want to talk about one other principle from Matthew chapter 18. How to deal with things when somebody does hurt you. Okay, so we'll talk about those three things if we can get, especially the last one, if we can get to that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great passage. Thank you for a great morning, Lord. I just love our church and our time together. And thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, which is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, we just ask you that you'd teach us that as we look at 1 Samuel 25, as we look at the life of David, as we see this incident with the man named Nabal, that you would teach us and we would see things that we can apply in our lives now. Lord, we know that as we go through life, there are going to be times when people hurt us, when they do wrong. In fact, there are going to be times, Lord, we know that when people will hurt us on purpose. So how do we respond? What do we do? We've seen David's life where he would leave vengeance to the Lord, but even in this passage, David seeks vengeance himself, and help us to learn from this. Lord, we also learn from this passage, what do we do if we've done somebody wrong, or if we think we've done somebody wrong, or if somebody thinks that we've done them wrong? What do we do? Teach us, Lord, as we look at this passage, as we look at Abigail and how she intercedes and what she does. And then, Lord, just to help us, how do we deal when we've been wronged? What's our response? What should we do? How should we deal with certain things? Lord, we just ask you that you teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me remind you where we are. David is on the run from Saul. He's been anointed as king of Israel as a young man, young boy. But it's not time. In fact, from the time he gets anointed to the time he becomes the king probably is about 15 years. And so as he's on the run, Saul's tried to kill him a number of times. And we've already seen two different times that David had the opportunity to kill Saul, and he wouldn't do it. He said he was God's anointed. He basically trusted God. He basically left it up and said, vengeance belongs to the Lord. And one of the great principles that we saw was this. When people do us wrong, when somebody hurts us, when somebody does something that's wrong, especially if they do it on purpose, we must realize that it is not our responsibility to give them back. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Never return evil with evil, but return evil with good, which is, that's a supernatural life, isn't it? Because the natural response when somebody does wrong to you is to do what? Do wrong to them back. I mean, to go get them. I mean, they hurt you, you get them back. That's what you think. But the Bible says, don't return evil with evil, return evil with good. We saw that David did fantastic two different times. He could have killed Saul, and he didn't. We now come to another story. And in this story, David and his men, he's got about 600 men, and they're, you might put it this way, but biblical-wise, we might call them scoundrels. They've gotten in trouble at different places, and they've run off, and they've all kind of got with David. And David, because he's a man of character, these men become men of character. They become known as David's mighty men, and they stand with David, and they fight with David. And so they're kind of running around and all hiding, and Saul keeps trying to catch him and get him. And David goes up, and his men go up in a part of Israel where Mount Carmel is. And there's this man named Nabal, and the man Nabal, his name means fool. Now, what we found out about him, he was a harsh man. He was an evil man. Nobody could talk to him. He's one of those, but he's very wealthy. So he has power. We find out that he's married to a woman named Abigail who is intelligent and beautiful. We already could figure out just from reading that it had to be an arranged marriage, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that. And so here's this beautiful, intelligent woman who's married to this foolish, angry, evil, harsh man. He's very wealthy. When David's men came up, they saw that this man had all kind of sheep and goats and animals. And so kind of an agreement was made. David and his men said, we will protect all of your stuff. We're enough men. We'll kind of put a hedge around you. Nobody will sneak in and steal your stuff. And we'll just kind of take care of you for you. We'll sort of work for you. And when it's time for payoff, when they start shearing all the sheep and everything, we'll expect some payment for it. That was sort of a deal that was made. In fact, if you would ask Nabal's people, how did it go? They'd say, listen, these men were like a wall around us. They protected us. We were glad they were there. They deserve to get payment for what they've done. Well, we find that it was time for sheep shearing. So David sends some of his men, and they said, go to that man named Nabal and tell him, peace to your family, peace to you, peace to everybody. Everybody just have a peaceful time. And he said, but what we're asking for is, since it's a festival day and you're shearing the sheep, we're asking for our cut because we protected everything. Look at 1 Samuel 25. Look at verse 11. Go back to verse 10. But Nabal answered David's servants and said, who's David? I don't know any David. Who's the son of Jesse? I don't really know him. There are many servants today who are breaking away from their master. See, everybody knew that David had been kind of a special man. And now that he's on the run from Saul, and David was pretty famous. When he said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? He knows exactly who David is. He's not acting like, he's not saying, I've never heard of David. David had slain his how many? 10,000. He's famous. David is already famous in Israel. And so this guy says, I don't even know who he is. And then he says, verse 11, shall I take my bread and my water and my meat? Notice it's my. Everything's my. That I have slaughtered for my shears and give it to men whose origin I don't know. Now, the way he said that is really negative. I don't even know who you guys are. I don't even know if you're really Jewish or not. I don't know anything about you guys. And so it's not very good. And I think, yeah, there it is. Shall I take my food and give it to the people I don't know? Now, let me just tell you this, and we talked about it last time. As you go through life, you're going to encounter people, and you know what? Some people aren't going to be very nice. Some people aren't going to treat you nice. Some people aren't going to treat you right. I have to remember, every time I think of something like this, I think of the story that James Dobson told. He said that it was on Valentine's Day. He had called this florist that morning. The florist said that this florist that was pretty close on the way home, and he had ordered the special flowers that he was going to take home to his wife for Valentine. And when he got to the shop on the way home, it was packed with people. It was a mess. And the owner was this big guy, and he was going around, and you could tell he was flustered, and everything was going wrong. And Dr. Dobson said he stood in line for a while, and then finally he said, excuse me, I have something bad that I already ordered. And this guy said, I'm not talking to you. I'm not taking any more orders. Get your, and he said a bad word, out of my store. And James Dobson said that he, like, part of him wanted to go, I'll fight this guy. But then he said, he's a big guy. So he said that all these people in that store, everything stopped. And they looked at him to see how he would respond. And he said, well, I just will not do business with you anymore. And he walked out the door. And he said, you know, I understand that guy was flustered and understand everything. But he didn't treat me right, right? You know, as you go through life, people aren't going to treat you right sometimes. I mean, you'll do everything right, and they won't treat you right. So one of the things you got to realize, David and his men did everything right that they were supposed to do, and they go and ask for their money, so to speak, their food, their water, their bread, their meat. And he says, I don't even know who you guys are, and I don't know what your background is, and I'm not giving you anything. In fact, the best thing you could do is get out of here. Now, we talked about it last time. I think the next one said, Nabal's going back on his word. Now, did you expect, let me ask you this. What we know about Nabal, what do we expect from this guy? He's a harsh man. He's a foolish man. Let me tell you something. If David had slain his 10,000s, is David the guy to make mad? I mean, think about how foolish this guy is, right? So Nabal's going back on his word, but David's going to go get him. If you look at verse 13, so David said to his men, each of you gird on your sword, so that each man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and about 400 men went up with David, but behind David, while 200 stayed with the baggage. He got 600 mighty men, and he's leaving 200 with the baggage and 400 with him, and he's going to kill every man there. Now, I want you to stop and think. See, God's in control, and God's working all things according to the counsel of His will. Who's going to be the next king of Israel? Does David want on his record that he savagely killed innocent people? See, David is a man after God's own. God, David's a hero, isn't he? David's slaying his 10,000s. Is this how David wants to be known? But is he thinking wisely right now? No. Because whenever you're done wrong, how do you think? I'm going to get him back. You know, I told you sometimes last week we talked about that in your mind, you've got your mind's turning on how you're getting them back and what you should have said and what you should have done and what you would have done and what you may still do, right? Well, here's what we find out. So the very first principle is, how do we respond when people do us wrong? Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Let me tell you, when people do you wrong, they are not getting away with it. And if you think, if you say, if I don't do something, they're going to get away with what they've done to me. They do not. People do not get away with what they do. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Never return evil with evil. Return evil with good. Now that is very, very hard to do. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, okay? One of the young men came to Abigail, that's Nabal's wife, and here's what they said. Look at verse 14. Behold, David sent messengers to the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. These men were very good to us. They didn't insult us. We didn't miss anything as long as they were with us. They were a wall to us by night and day all that time. Now, therefore, no one consider what you should do. These people are asking her for evil's plotted against our master and against all our household, and he's such a worthless man that nobody can speak to him. Listen, they knew that when David's men left, that that wasn't the end of it. And these people know that they're going to get killed. I think that he's worthless, he's foolish, nobody can speak to him, he won't listen. So how do you deal with it? Now, we've seen, how do you deal with it when somebody does you wrong? You leave the vengeance to the Lord. Okay, how do you deal with it if you do something wrong? Because Abigail is going to say, we've done wrong. Now, she didn't do wrong. Who did wrong? Her husband. She's going to represent him. And she's going to do what's right. Let's see David's vengeance. I think that's the next slide, I think. Oh, no. Yeah, here's David's vengeance. Watch what happens. Look at verse 21. David says, now surely in vain I have guarded all this man has in the wilderness, so nothing was missed, and I'm going after him. Now what Abigail has done, if you go back to verse 18, she got 200 loaves of bread, 2 jugs of wine, 5 sheep already prepared, 5 measures of roasted grain, 200 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs. I mean, she's got them all. She's got them loaded on donkeys. She's on the way to David. What she's going to do is do exactly what he asked for. He asked for his payment. She's going to make sure he gets it. David on the way is saying, in vain I have guarded all this man belongs, all that he has in the wilderness, so nothing was missed, and he's returned to me evil for good. He returned evil for good. What's David about to do? He's going to return evil for evil. Romans chapter 12, never return evil with evil, return evil with good. Wow. Now, David's making a mistake. We've already seen that he's done right. Now he's doing wrong. And if something doesn't change, David's going to be known not as the man after God's own heart. He's going to be known as the man who took revenge and killed innocent people. You could say, but they did David wrong, and David protected them, and these people, they don't, this is, vengeance belongs to who? What do you do when somebody does you wrong? See, it's natural to say they should not get away with this. Isn't that what we think? They should not get away with this. Are they going to get away with it? No. It may look like it. May look like it humanly, right? They don't get away with it. Here's what she does. She does 3 things. She recognizes the wrong that was done to David. She tries to correct the wrong. And she asks for forgiveness. Now, the second part is, what do we do when we think we've done something wrong? Here's what we do. We recognize that we've done wrong. We tell the person, I'm sorry, I did wrong. I should not have said that. I should not have done that. It's my fault. I made a mistake. Probably the hardest words to ever say is what? I'm sorry. We go like this. Well, you don't know the situation. Yes, we do know the situation. Recognize what we've done wrong. Whoop, go back. Yeah, correct the wrong if possible. See, sometimes we do things that can't be corrected. It's too late. Or you can't go back. And then the third thing is seek forgiveness. Let's watch what she does. First of all, look at verse 24. She's going to admit that she's wrong. Verse 24. She says, she fell at his feet. Now, they're on the way, and all of a sudden, as David and them come over the section, there she comes, this beautiful woman, the wife of Nabal, with her servants, with her, and donkeys, and food. And as David comes over, she does what? Verse 23, when Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey. She fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, my Lord, let be the blame. And please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant." She says, who's at fault here? She says she's at fault. She's saying, I was wrong. You know what she's probably thinking? I should have been there to meet those people instead of him. You know, because he meets people, he runs them off. She admits he's wrong. Look at verse 25. "Please do not let my Lord pay any attention to this worthless man, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he." What does his name mean? Fool. "Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, I did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent." She says, when they came, I didn't get to talk to them. And so this is my fault that this has happened. I didn't see them. Verse 26. "Now may, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal." He said, may all your enemies be fools. So she admits, first of all, she's wrong. This is the hardest thing for us to do, isn't it? When was the last time you were wrong? I thought I was wrong, but I was right. That was the last time I was wrong. But the truth is, isn't it hard to say we're wrong? Look at the second thing. She corrects the wrong. Look at verse 27. "Now, let this gift which your maidservant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who accompany my Lord." She says, I brought food. I brought what you came for. I'm correcting the wrong. You were supposed to get paid. You didn't get paid. I'm correcting it. Sometimes when things go wrong, sometimes when we do wrong, we can say, listen, I blew it. How about this? And we try to correct it. And sometimes it's enough. Sometimes people go, well, okay. But here's the third thing. She asks for forgiveness. Look at verse 28. "Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make..." Now watch what she says. "For the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil will not be found in you all your days." She said, listen, please forgive me, because I know the Lord is going to use you to be the what? What does it say? The king. She knows he's going to be the king. A lot of people knew David was going to be the king. People knew something was wrong. People knew that Saul wasn't the leader he was supposed to be. People knew about David fighting. People heard these things. People had heard that David was supposed to be the next king. So when we do wrong, admit it. That's the hardest thing. Correct it, if possible. And sometimes it can be. And third, seek forgiveness. What is David's response? Look what he does. He does two things. He blesses God and he blesses Abigail. Look at verse 32. David says, "Then David said to Abigail, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me.'" He's saying, thank you, Lord, for sending this woman to stop me from doing something wrong. So he blesses God. Because he says, God is protecting me. Sometimes God puts people in our lives to give us some wisdom. Sometimes God puts people in our lives and says, wait a minute. Don't do that. Really? Yeah, don't do that. Sometimes God is working all things, and he says, thank you, Lord, for protecting me. And then look what he says about her, verse 33, and blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you, watch, who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. Now, vengeance belongs to who? The Lord. David basically said, thank you, Abigail, for keeping me from avenging myself, from me killing somebody. When I look at this, I think maybe God will use us sometime in certain people's lives to keep them from making big mistakes. We have to build relationships with people. And you know, it's hard to correct somebody if you don't have a relationship with them. You realize that? You see somebody and you think, I'm going to go over and tell that person where they're wrong. Be careful. They'll tell you something right back. And that's why Jesus said, listen, you got to get the log out of your eye before you can get the splinter out of somebody else's. You got to deal with your own stuff. You got to have a relationship. We're going to look at it in just a minute in Matthew 18. I think we're going to have time to look at it in Matthew 18. When somebody does you wrong, they have to be close enough that you have a relationship with them to talk to them. So may we be used by others, and then may we used by God to help others, but may we never avenge ourselves. It's so easy. You can think of ways that you've been hurt. You can think of how somebody hurt you on purpose. See, it's one thing somebody hurt you and they didn't mean to. And you go, they didn't mean to. They didn't even know it. They didn't even know it. But it's another thing when somebody hurt you and they did it on purpose. And you go, how could they do that? What do you have to do? You have to forgive them. And you have to lead the vengeance to the Lord. Look at what David says in verse 34. Nevertheless, as the Lord of God, God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would not have been left to Nabal until the morning light as much as one man. He said, I would have killed every person there. Every man there, if you had not shown up. See, David could say, I justify this. I'm not going to touch the women or the children. I'll just kill all the men. It's all wrong. Verse 35. So David received from her hand which she had brought him and said to her, go up to your house in peace. See, I've listened to you and granted your request. He listened to her. We see two different things. How do we deal when we're wronged? Be careful. We don't try to get vengeance. We see another part. How do we deal if we have done something wrong? We admit we're wrong. We try to correct it. And we ask for forgiveness. Really hard stuff. You know, a lot of people, I've had people say to me, there's a church in town that doesn't even look at the Old Testament because they've said that written to the church are the letters. In fact, even the Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of course, they say that those are history books about Christ, but since we're the church, we need the letters. Paul's letters, Peter's letters, James. You know, we need the New Testament letters, the epistles, not the Old Testament. Let me ask you something. Any principles from this Old Testament that might help us? Paul even writes that the things that were written in the past were written for our instructions. So the Bible is full of it. Here is David. We're looking at this man that we all know and love and say, man, he's the one that killed Goliath and a man after God's own heart. And what do we learn from this? It hits us exactly where we live. What happened to Nabal? The death of Nabal. See, David thought Nabal's going to die. How? I'm going to kill him. But he's going back home. Look at verse 36. Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in the house like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she didn't tell him anything at all until the morning light. Now, she came back after saving his life, and he's so drunk she can't even talk to him because he's having a big party. He's sitting there with a big party, not even knowing that an enemy was coming to kill every one of his people and himself. And he's too drunk to even know it. She gets back after saving his life and basically says, I'll just tell him in the morning. But in the morning when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things. Now watch. And his heart died within him. So he became as a stone. What happened to him? May have had a stroke, may have had a heart attack, but who knows? She came in and said, let me tell you what happened, and I'm going to tell you. And so it says that his heart became a stone, verse 38, about 10 days later. What happened to him? Oh, he just passed away. No, what does it say? The Lord struck Nabal and he died. Who gets the vengeance? Let me ask you something. When somebody hurts you, who's going to deal with it? The Lord's going to deal with it. And listen, you may never see it. You may never see it. You just have to trust God that when something goes wrong and somebody hurts us, that we leave it to the Lord. And we say, Lord, I don't understand what's happening. I know that that was wrong on their part, but I trust you. And I'm not going to return evil with evil. I will leave it to you. Now, David had said earlier about Saul, when Saul tried to kill him, and then David had the chance to kill Saul. David said, just one of these days, he's just either going to die, or he's going to get killed in battle, something's going to happen to him, God's going to deal with him, then I'll become king. In this passage, he was going to take things in his own hands, and God used Abigail to stop him. And what did God do to Nabal? 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. Vengeance belongs to who? You're just going to have to trust him. Listen, I'm talking to me. You're just going to have to trust him. Right? Because people hurt us, don't they? And what we have to do, all of us in this room have been hurt and going to be hurt. And in the future, if we just keep on living, there's going to be hurt coming in our lives. You just have to give it to the Lord. Look what happened. Verse 39, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has, what? Pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from evil. He said, blessed be God, he kept me from doing evil. The Lord has also returned the evil doing of Nabal on his own head. He said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man what? Sows, that shall he also reap. What did Nabal sow? Wickedness and evil, what came back on him? Died. Look at the end of that verse. Then David sent a proposal to Abigail to take her as his wife. David knows a catch when he sees one. Right? I mean, she's pretty and she's smart. He figures this can't hurt. Right? Has David already got a wife? He got a couple already. Is this right or wrong? Is it right or wrong to have more than one wife? It's pretty foolish, isn't it? David's got to have at least three by the time this happens. Before it's all over, I think he has seven wives. Does that make it right? You know, in that culture, that was not uncommon. How many wives does Solomon have? 700 wives. And 300 concubines. Now you'd say, why would he have 700 wives? Because they were alliances that he was making. Anyway, he didn't just see a woman and go, hey, I think I'll take her. Listen, these were alliances. He was using these wives for protection because he would marry the daughter of a king of another entity, and that way they'd become friends and they wouldn't attack. Did he have to do that to be safe? When the king became king in Israel, there were restrictions in the Mosaic law that said you shall not multiply three things. Anybody know what they are? Gold, women, horses. Gold is the money, women is the alliances, horses is the army. He said, you don't have to get them. I'm going to take care of you in all the areas. Do you know that before Solomon died, he turned away from God and had idols brought into the temple area? Solomon, wisest man who ever lived. You can be the wisest man who ever lived, but you have to live out your wisdom, right? It's one thing to know what's right. It's another thing to do it. We've got just a few minutes. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you some applications, and I want you to turn one other place. Leave vengeance to the Lord. It's not to us, but to God. He knows what's best. He's in control. Respond with good. Never pay back evil with evil. Repay back evil with good. Leave it to God. He knows how to deal with people. People do not get away with anything. If anybody does you wrong, if anybody hurts you, just realize that they're accountable to God. They're accountable to God. Second, take heed lest we think we stand, we fall. You got to guard yourself, because it's so easy that David, for at least two times, did the right thing, and then in this passage, he was doing the wrong thing. And it's easy to do good and then mess up. When you think, I'm rolling, I'm doing good, that would never happen to me. I would never do that. Don't ever say what you would never do. We're capable of any sin. You put us in the wrong place at the wrong time, we will do the wrong thing. If you don't think you would, you are in trouble now. Take heed lest you think you stand, you fall. Third thing, deal with our wrongs. First, admit it to the person. If you do wrong, admit it. B, correct it if possible. And then C, seek forgiveness. Now, I got one other thing I want you to see, and I want you to turn over to Matthew 18. We still got 5 minutes, and I just want you to see this. This goes back to when people do you wrong. Matthew 18, verse 15. Famous passage. It's not part of the sheet. I just thought about it this morning that I wanted to go over this just real briefly, because we still have about 3 or 4 minutes. I just want you to think through this, because this will change your life if we'll do what the Bible says. Now, sometimes we don't do what the Bible says. Let me put it this way. Most of the time, in certain areas like this, we don't do what the Bible says. Matthew 18, verse 15, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Now, all I want to say is this, that as we go through life, every one of us in this room, we're going to hurt each other. Sometimes we're going to say things that we don't mean. Sometimes we're going to say something, it's going to come out wrong. Sometimes we say something, we didn't mean anything. Somebody's going to take it another way. As we go through life, there are going to be times that if we get close enough, we're going to hurt each other's feelings. We're going to do each other wrong in some way or another. Now, we need to be that close. We need to be close enough to hurt each other. Because if you don't hurt each other, if you're so standoffish, if you don't build the relationships, it's never going to be any fun. You're just going to go through life. So you got to get to know each other. You got to spend time with each other. We got to build a unity that makes the body of Christ work. And that's why it's so important that as a new church, we got to come together. We got to love one another. At this time, from 9:15 to 9:45, more and more people are coming at 9:15 to 9:45 in our fellowship time so we can get to know each other. It's a great time. You've got to spend time with each other. But let me tell you, when you do, you'll find out that we're all fallen people, and we all mess up, every one of us. And we're going to hurt each other's feelings. Now, the Bible says that when somebody does us wrong, we got a couple of options. We already know this, that when somebody does us wrong, we don't do what? We don't get vengeance, okay? So what do we do? First Peter says, let love cover a multitude of sins. Sometimes when somebody says something hurts your feelings, or somebody that does something you thought they shouldn't have done, somehow it hurts you, one of the things you can do is just let love cover over. In fact, probably most of the time what you should do is let love cover over. Just say, I know what he's like. He's just like me. We just sometimes say the wrong thing, do the wrong things. I'm just going to let love cover over. But sometimes you may say, this hurt me enough that I need to talk to them about it. That I'm not able to let love cover this one over. If your brother sins, some manuscripts say actually sins against you, go and show him his fault in private. Now here's the key. When one of us does one of us wrong, I'm just going to pick on Susie. Let's say that I hurt Susie. I say something wrong, and Susie and I are close, and I could easily say something that would not be good or you know, just ignore her. I could just hurt her feelings. And I know that Susie, all the time, I know. And we'd let love cover. But let's say she couldn't. What should she do? What does it say? Come to me. Susie would come to me and say, JB, I don't know if you realize this, but when you did that, that really hurt me. And I might say, I know. No, I would probably say, I didn't even know I did it. I'm so sorry. Now, here's what happens most of the time. Susie gets hurt, and she tells Derek, and she tells Gene, and she tells somebody else. And she says, you know what JB did the other day? You remember two Sundays ago, I came in and I had, and then JB said this to me. Can you believe he said that to me? See, what we do, and this is what causes division in bodies. Instead of going to a person that hurts us, we go to other people and tell them. Let me tell you, here's what you do. If somebody comes to you, and let's pretend somebody came to me and they said, JB, do you know what Susie did to me? I would say, number one, first of all, you don't have the right to talk to me about Susie until you talk to Susie about Susie. Number two, why are you telling me? Have you gone to talk to her? When somebody comes to you and wants to say something about somebody else, don't let them do it. Don't give them the opportunity. You say to them, wait a minute, why are you talking to me about that person? Have you talked to that person? What happens, and it tends to happen very easily, is we get hurt and we talk to other people about how somebody hurt us instead of going to the person in private. And it says, if he listens to you, you've won your brother. I would say in most instances, if you go to a person and say, you hurt me, most of the time they'd say, because they're your brother and sister in Christ, most of the time they'd probably say, I didn't even know I did it. I didn't realize I did it. I'm sorry. What if they don't? And I know we've run out of time, but what if they don't? If they don't listen, then you take somebody else. But these have to be people that are close. And there's a whole process that if you read through Matthew 18, it talks about the process of going with another person and then two or three and then even. So, but the bottom line is 99% of issues within a body could be handled if people, instead of talking to other people about a person, they went straight to the person. And this is what we saw. David, he's going to go get that bad guy. We see Abigail coming saying it's wrong. We see this. And then in this passage, what do you do when people hurt you? You can let love cover, or you can go to the person. Don't go to other people. Go to the person that hurt you. Exactly. And what Abigail was doing is she was trying to recognize that Nabal had done wrong, and she was hoping that she could stop David. You're right. She was admitting wrong. Exactly. David was doing wrong because he was going to go get vengeance. He did listen to her. That was. It was. In our lives, there are times that somebody's going to come to you to talk about somebody else. And when you say, I'm not going to listen to it, you're being used by God to direct them back to the Scripture. So let's be faithful to do that. That's a key. All right. We're through. We're through on this. We'll get six next up. What's the matter? Oh, did I do something wrong, Susie? Did you do something wrong? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for the life of David. Thank you for these truths and principles from the Bible. Lord, when somebody does us wrong, Lord, may we leave vengeance to you. May we return evil with good. Lord, if somebody does us wrong, may we let love cover. And if we can't let love cover, may we go to that person. Lord, we realize that if we do wrong, may we admit that we're wrong. May we try to correct it, and may we seek forgiveness. Lord, thank you for these principles and truths from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.